well, well, what have we here? What we have here is a new year, January 9th, 2024. Welcome to the new year. Seagat Blitz Podcast, back at you on its original platform because, well, I was able to figure some stuff out. Long story short, I got my bank account was hacked. Had to get a new bank card during that time. My subscription got canceled. So I had to work it all out. So I still did some live shows. But this is kind of the time of year where we kind of wind things down. So this isn't going to be what I would call a season finale. I'll do that more towards the end of the NFL season. But what this is going to be, we're going to put a bow on college football. There's lots of things to address, lots of things to really get into. It's kind of a show where it would have been nice to have someone on as a guest to go back and forth with on some certain things, but because it's going to be a lot of a one-sided conversation. I'm not going to do a season recap. No, that's going to take too long. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get right down to the bones of where we ended up wrapping up last night with a 34-13 win of the Michigan Wolverines over the Washington Huskies for the College Football National Championship down in Houston, Texas. I did watch the game. I had boycotted the semifinal games because of my affiliation with Florida State and my passion for them, and they totally got robbed, screwed, and any other word you want to insert in there, and didn't have a chance to play for it, all because they lost Jordan Travis against North Alabama. Now, since I brought that up, I might as well speak on it, and that way I get it addressed and get it out of the way. When the College Football Committee ruled the four teams there the day after the championships were done, the conference championships, and Texas came in at 3, I didn't need to see who 4 was to know that it wasn't going to be FSU because they had to have their precious SEC in the college football playoff, which is complete and utter horse crap, and they should be tried and convicted and thrown in jail for some form of a conspiracy because that's exactly what it was. It's funny because all weekend I'm rooting – the weekend I'm like, well, I need Alabama. If Alabama knocks off Georgia, FSU won't play Georgia. So I'm rooting for Alabama to beat Georgia. And look where that got me. That got me snubbed from the college football playoff. Now, had I known, I would have rooted for Georgia. Maybe that makes a difference. Maybe me rooting for Georgia would have made the difference. Maybe that Hail Mary, that miracle play that Alabama had to have would have never happened. The college football final standings came out today, and that's an even bigger joke. Michigan number one. Look, whether you love Michigan, hate Michigan, think they cheated because they did, that they deserve a shot, who knows, to be determined. Their coach is probably going to dip, and they're probably going to get sanctioned all to pieces for cheating. And they may even end up having to vacate wins. Who knows what the future holds. Either way, we're recognizing them as the college football champion because they are. They beat Washington. The two undefeateds played. Okay? That's why I boycotted the semifinals. Texas, one loss. Alabama, one loss. Both of those teams now have 2 losses. The top 6 breaks down like this. I don't have it wrote down. I'll try to go off memory. Michigan 1. I lied. I looked it up. Michigan 1, Washington 2. And this is where the horse crap starts. Texas 3, Georgia 4, Bama 5, FSU and Oregon tied at 6th. If that's not the biggest load of horse shit you've ever sniffed, then keep looking, because this is a tragedy again. Michigan won, yes. Absolutely, they won. Georgia number 2, best team in the country. Georgia beats anybody in that top 10. On really any other day of the week. It took Bama getting lucky. Bama now has 2 losses. Texas now has 2 losses. Oregon has 2 losses. FSU has 1 loss. With a completely depleted team in their bowl game. It was a joke to watch. I watched it just because I'm a fan. But it was a joke. And they're going to end up ranking them 6th ahead of 2 loss teams. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because Texas is now in the damn SEC. That's why. It's a joke. College football is a joke. So what do you got to do? How are they going to fix this? People, you see all over, not only TV, you see all over sports media everywhere. How does this get fixed? They say, well, we're going to go to a 12-team playoff next year. We'll have a 12-team playoff in there, and, you know, we'll have a better chance to crown a winner. If there was a 12-team this year, so-and-so, so-and-so, Ohio State, Florida State, they'd all be in. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great to think that, but guess what, dorks? Now you're going to have teams 13, 14, and 15 deserving a shot. When's it going to be enough? When's it going to stop? Well, you can't leave. You can't bring it to 20. Because then you're going to start the playoffs in October. So it has to stop here. There's always going to be somebody getting left out. It doesn't matter. You got 12 teams. 13, 14, and 15 deserve a shot. Maybe they do. Maybe they're undefeated. Maybe Liberty's 13th undefeated deserves a shot over a 1-loss Alabama. Who's getting in? We know the answer. Washington, maybe a 2-loss Washington need next year, getting in over undefeated Liberty. We know that's going to happen. It's always going to be screwed. It's always going to be broke. So to my answer to that question that has been poking around all over, how do we fix this? We don't. There is no fixing it. It's broke. There's no fixing it. It's like the circle of law. It's like the wheel of justice. The wheel of justice is broken. The wheel of college football is broken. So what do you have to do to get through yourself? Well, you got to do 2 things. One, you bet on yourself. You bet on your team. You go all in. And you go with what you can do. And you say, well, Chris, FSU did that. FSU did all the right things. They did all the right things. They won. They won every single game. They went into Clemson and won when nobody else has done that in years. They beat LSU. They shut down the Heisman Trophy winner on the first week of the season, and then he went off, won the Heisman, and they beat Florida, and they won the national championship with the third-string quarterback, and they still got screwed. All you can do is play the game. Play the game. Somebody's going to get left out. Somebody's going to get screwed. Teams 13, 14, 15, and possibly even 16 are going to get screwed. Doesn't matter. The other 12, do they deserve a shot? Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. Time will tell. And we'll dig into this every year. Because I might as well let you know now. I might as well, since I'm already on this roll, I might as well let you know. This podcast in the 2024 is moving into a college-centered podcast. It's going to be more college-centered, college-centric. I'll just let you know now. Breaking news right here on the Seagate Blitz podcast. But we'll keep track, and we'll say, well, does this person deserve to be there? No, it does not. Does this person deserve to be there, and they're ranked 18th in the country? Yes, they do. Why? Well, look at this, this, and this. Are they going to get screwed? Yes, they are, because they're not in the Big 2. The Pac-12 is crumbling. It's a joke. They're gone. Washington's in the Big 10 now. You got a couple teams coming into the ACC. The ACC is a joke. It's no longer a Power 5. The ACC is a group of five. That was more than proven this year. It's a joke. That's why they want out. That's why they've sued for the grant of rights so they can move on. So they can go to a different conference. They want to go to the Big Ten. Bring them on to the Big Ten. ACC people and all the people down in the South don't want them in the ACC. I do. Closer for me to go to games. Bring it on. Selfish? More money? Why does it make me selfish? It works out good for me. Works out good for them. More money? Closer to me? Works out great. I've been an old fan since I was 12 years old. You're always going to have those top 6, 7, 8 teams that are going to get in no matter what. If you have Ole Miss, this is a great example. Ole Miss is a great example. Ole Miss gathered some momentum this year. Decent run. Could make a pretty good run next year, although they did lose one of the best running backs in the nation to Ohio State today. So that's going to change things. Quinshon Judkins was in the portal, and he went to Ohio State. But they're a perfect example. If they have a good run, and let's say they go 11-1, they're getting in. They're getting in over an undefeated Tulane. They're getting in over an undefeated Stanford, who's now going to be in the ACC because they're in the SEC. It's going to happen. Even if it's a one-year wonder. FSU built what they built for this run, for Jordan Travis. They got left out because he got injured, which tells me he's the best player in the country. Give him the damn Heisman. That didn't happen either. He finished fifth in the Heisman. Still finished fifth with a broken foot. This is broken. We have to. I'm struggling with it just like everybody else. Okay, there's no way I have made peace with it. You can obviously tell by the aggravation in my voice that I'm still aggravated with it. I have to find a way between now and next year to not only put this behind me, flush it, and move on, but to accept it going forward. I also have to accept the fact that there's a good chance, not a 50-50 chance, maybe a 30% chance that FSU gets stuck in the ACC till 2036 because of the grant of rights. And that they get left out exclusively for a while. Because I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen again. If an undefeated Florida State team runs the table, wins a conference championship, and is undefeated, and you have a one-loss Mississippi State and a one-loss Ole Miss, or a one-loss Washington, who's now in the Big Ten, they're getting in ahead of Florida State. It's going to happen. I have to find a way to deal with that. For those of you listening who are fans of schools that are in the Power 2, you got nothing to worry about. Michigan fans, you're golden, even if your coach leaves. Okay, because he's built the program up. The prestige levels are there. They're going to keep bringing in the recruits. It's going to hurt them long term. But for the next 5 or 6 years, that team is going to be up there. All the eyes, they made it a point on Fox NFL Sunday to make a point that Jim Harbaugh had hired some new agent, and as of today, this morning, as soon as his eyes opened up, he was able and free to talk to NFL teams. That speaks volumes right there, people. He wants to go to the NFL. There's going to be some changes at Michigan. Go out on top. Won a national championship, undefeated season. Great season for Michigan. I mean, yeah. Cannot, you know, other than the cheating thing, and should they be there or not, you know, they did everything right. Great defense, run the ball. The quarterback's not that great. Their defense won their championship for them. Run the ball, chew the clock, keep the other offense off the field. Defense gives them fits when they are on the field. And win it easily. Easily. Some people say Washington made some mistakes. That doesn't matter. Those mistakes were made because Michigan was just that dominant on defense. They made the plays. They were a better team. Michigan was a better team. So don't cry about it. Buckeye fans, I've already seen it today. on X or Twitter or whatever we're calling it these days, Buckeye fans are making excuses as to the reason why Michigan won. Well, don't. Stop. They beat you. Okay, you weren't that good to begin with. You lost your quarterback, and then you really was bad. Now you got really problems because they got I did see that they got somebody coming in that's a decent quarterback to bridge the gap maybe. But, you know, they got Quinshon Judkins. They're losing Marvin Harrison, but they got a bevy of wide receivers anyway. So Ohio State's going to be in the mix. A one-loss Ohio State team absolutely gets in over an undefeated SEC champion. No doubt about it, especially with 12 teams. More chance. So if you're a fan of one of these big two, the SEC or the Big Ten, you're fine. If you follow any of them schools, if Vanderbilt goes on a run and goes 10-2, and the world turns upside down because Vanderbilt went 10-2, they're still going to get in. They're going to make it in because they're in the SEC. It's the truth. We have, well, that's one thing. We have to accept it between now and then. I have from now until next year's kickoff against Wake or Georgia Tech in Ireland to get my mind right with this and realize that there is a potential now that they have opened that door, that door will swing open for years to come. If you're a fan of a team, Kentucky, nah, SEC. It's hard. Kentucky's a hard one for you, Kane Harder, because if they go on a run, you know, they're in. But if they're 10-2, maybe they get left out because their other SEC brothers are better, even with wins. I don't know, man. We got a lot to dissect next season on this. I said 12 teams is better. No, 12 teams makes it worse because then you got another three or four that are mad. The 12-team playoff is good, though, because you could have a team get hot. In that 12 teams, they could get right get hot at the end of the season, slide in that 12 team with one or two losses, get hot, and right on into the championship game. It has happened before. Somebody unsuspecting comes in, takes out one of them big dogs. The second thing, and then I'll get back into the real the bones of the show. Well, it's like this. I have no idea where I left off at. I've been sitting here rambling and talking about the NIL for so long, I can't even remember how long I was on pause. I'm going to finish it up by saying this. There's a two-pronged system to the NIL that really has to figure out. We have to fix it. One is they got to cap how much wiggle room these players have. Money's always going to be there. Two, we got to figure out a way to keep the players we've went in and recruited hard in our families' houses, that went in and told the mamas they're pretty, and told their son, you know, we're going to provide for them, give them a good education, we're going to watch over them, and you know, they're going to be at a great school and a great facility and play good ball, blah 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 blah. Keep those kids happy too. What's going to happen is you bring in a 5-star recruit who hit the transfer portal. Now all of a sudden, this guy whose mama you promised and told her she was pretty, son's going to leave because all of a sudden I'm not good enough. Well, can I get on the field? Probably not. I'm leaving too. So there goes your word, and there goes the player out the door. Like I said, I was sitting here talking on pause for who knows how long. I don't even remember where I left off. I apologize. Like I said, it's been a while, a little rusty. But I'll pause the show to take a drink or wipe my nose or something, and I forgot to hit the unpause button. So it's hard telling what you heard, and I do apologize for that. But I'm not starting over. We're going to have to learn to live with the way this is going to be going forward. Not only are we going to have teams 13, 14, 15, and 16 mad that they didn't get in and get a chance, we're going to have to worry about what we're going to do about NIL until they can figure out how to cap it. I said earlier, don't know if I was recording or not. If you're in the two good conferences, you got nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. If you're in the SEC or Big Ten, you're fine. They got the money. They got the power. Where the money goes for Kirk Herbstreit and all those guys at ESPN to say they had no say in it. It's a bunch of crap. Big bunch of crap. All in all, though, you've got to really appreciate college football for what it still can be and will be, I think. Okay? Passionate players, college kids, young men, every single one of them, yeah, I can't say every single one, most of them aspiring to make it to the league. Not all going to go to the league. Not all going to make it. Okay, and some of them probably know that. But you're a five-star wide receiver and you go to Michigan or Ohio State, you have aspirations going to the league. That's just that. You're a 6'5", 360-pound lineman that goes to Stanford, and you're probably going to be a really big doctor. But we have to appreciate college football for what it is, because at the end of the day, it's still better than the NFL, although it's starting to look a little bit more like the NFL. You know, there was one thing I was listening to where, you know, being a college coach these days is very, very demanding. It's very it'd be mind-boggling. Because I talked a little bit while I was paused that, you know, the college teams now are 1 year shelf life. You know, 1 year shelf life and you're turning the team over again. Because you don't know who's staying, you don't know who's going, you don't know who's going pro, you don't know who's going to opt out, who gets mad, blah, 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 blah. When the NFL coaches, you know, if you sign a guy for 4 years, it's up to you whether you keep him in 4 years or trade him or cut him or whatever. That's on you. It ain't really on his decision. He's a member of that football team under contract to play for the Cowboys for 4 years. College football's different. We've got to find a way to cap that. But it's still fun. I didn't watch the semifinals, but I watched the last night's game because it was the last game of college football for the season. And I wanted to see a good game. I thought it would be a better game than what it really was. But ultimately, at the end of it, it's because I enjoy watching college football. To me, it's more enjoyable than the NFL. And don't get me, I'll watch college basketball. I'll watch college basketball. Probably starting here soon, I'll get into college basketball because, you know, until softball starts, not a whole lot to do. And I love to watch the NCAA tournament. I'll watch that way before I'll ever watch an NBA game. I won't turn an NBA game on. I can't name 10 NBA players. I might be able to name 6 or 7. And that's not counting LeBron because everybody knows that name. It's just more fun. It's more fun to watch college football. I look forward to week 0. I look forward to week 1. I look forward to, even though it's Wyoming and North Wyoming in week 0. I'm so jacked and ready for that college football game. I'm watching that. Don't know a player on the team, but I might by the time it's done. Find a college football team and root for its players. Learn players in the college ranks, and it will translate to fantasy football like you will never believe. I have testimonials that say that from when Brian Wickham hadn't played college fantasy football ever. He's played college fantasy for the last 2 years now. He says it's opened up a whole new lane for him. Just following players, following your college teams. College fantasy is another great way to learn college talent. If you like a team, if you have a color, or you have maybe one of your favorite NFL players went to, I don't know, you know, your favorite NFL player was at this person and he went to that college, maybe, you know, go. You know, I was a big Kevin Smith fan. Kevin Smith was a cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys for a lot of years back in the late 90s. Went to the University of Texas A&M. I didn't hate Texas A&M because of that. huge fan of Ricky Williams, what he did the year he won the Heisman for Texas. I've always kind of rooted for Texas since then. I'm a Cowboys fan there in Texas. Kind of goes together. But no one has captured my interest and my passion like Florida State. And I do not know why, other than I like the helmets. I turned the TV on one day, years ago, saw their helmets. That was it. That's how I started following them, years ago. Find a college team. College is better. It's fun. The passion, the pageantry, the fans, the student section, the students, the universities, the everything that goes with it. It's all better. Sure, the NFL's way more talented, and you can see a big time difference in pro programs and college programs. Absolutely. But the pageantry that they bring out and the heart that they play with every single Saturday or Thursday or Friday or whenever it is they play, it's just fun. It's fun to watch. As we move into 2024, this podcast will be a little bit more college football centered. It's more of a passion of mine, and I would like to also grow my college knowledge. Not only I have a really good grasp on colleges from the Big Ten to the MAC, the SEC, the ACC. You get the general idea. This coast, this portion of the country, I would like to expand my knowledge westward and learn more about the teams out west, and even as far as, you know, clear out to the east or the west coast, excuse me. So it's a challenge for me to do that. Okay, I don't know. I have some friends that are in fantasy leagues with that live out that way, and they have a bigger and better insight on players out that way. Not just college, but, you know, who's coming out of high school. They have the inside track on who's coming from out there. This will help me in my Devy journey, and this will also help me in my college fantasy, and it'll also help me in my overall knowledge of college football. I'm not saying that I will never talk about the NFL again, because that's preposterous, but it's not really going to be fantasy football centered anymore. Moving in different directions. Fantasy's fantasy. You know, I can tell you to start, you know, Jonathan Taylor, because it looks good, and he can go out there and have 5 carries and tear a hamstring. So, you know, but you know who else can tell you that? Jamie Eisenberg, the fantasy football fellas, the fantasy footballers, they can all tell you the same thing. So you can get fantasy football information from people who are way smarter than me. This is going to be more of a opinion-centered podcast. I'm not going to yank my FSU fandom all over the place. I will talk up colleges that deserve it. I'll talk up players that deserve it. I'll talk up NFL players that deserve it. It's just going to be more of a football talk show that's really college-based, and we'll talk NFL. I'll talk fantasy if questions pop up or whatever, but I'm not going to center it around fantasy football anymore. There's not going to be studs and duds. There's not going to be, you know, building lineups and things of that nature going forward. I may still do Devy Players of the Week. That kind of gets you invested in college players. So that's probably a definite going to be, but I'm moving from fantasy football, at least on this podcast, to a different platform. It excites me, and I'm ready for a new chapter in this. It's been really fun doing it, but you know, you can only hear the same thing from so many people, and be like, yeah, he said this, he said this, he said this. No, he said this. So I guess I'm going to go with what those other 5 guys said. So, you know, I'm still playing fantasy. I'm still going to try to win fantasy championships. I'm just not going to be, you know, talking about it that much on this podcast. This is more going to be, you know, hyping you up for college football, getting you into college football, getting you names associated with college football. I'll talk about a guy who ran for 215 yards, you know, for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights last week against Nebraska. Things like that. So we're going to give it a shot, see how it goes. just because, you know, I don't have 30,000 listeners anyway. I have a handful of dedicated listeners who I really do appreciate, and but we're going to try something different and go from there. Putting a bow on this episode, college episode, the college football season has come to an end. Michigan Wolverines are your national champions. Do they get an asterisk by their name because FSU got left out? No, they don't. Okay, I cannot take away what Michigan did last night. Is there a chance they beat Florida State? There was always a chance. Always a chance FSU would have beat anybody in that top four, and that's my side I'm taking on it. But Michigan could have beat Florida State just as easy as FSU could have beat them. No asterisks. Michigan earned this game. They earned the right to be the number one team in the country pretty much all year long. I said the winner of the Ohio State-Michigan game should be the number one team anyway. I said that going back weeks ago. So it all worked out. Congratulations to Michigan. I have some family members that are Michigan fans. I have some friends that are Michigan fans. And, you know, I know that they are just happy as can possibly be right now. And, you know, good for them. It's their first championship since, like, 17-14 or something. So, you know, good for them. I'm happy for them. They deserved it. Washington equally deserved a shot to play in that game. I think that out of the four, those were the two teams that rightly deserved to be there. So, you know, they play the game. I'm sure ESPN was heartbroken that one of their little SEC teams didn't get to make it in. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's a big two middle fingers to you, SEC. So, with that, I'll get out of here. Like I said, don't know exactly where I stopped and started on that whole talking while the thing was paused. That's a little rust getting knocked off. But I will be back to talk NFL. We'll talk NFL the rest of the season. And then we'll gear up for some college. And, I mean, let's be realistic. I'm still going to talk NFL because it's football. Thanks for listening. Sorry for the hiatus. Happy New Year. Hope you guys had a great holiday. You can find the podcast, hopefully still everywhere. Fingers crossed. See you next time on the Blitz.